In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. If we as Christians study the New Testament closely, we will find four important scenes from our Lord's life that took place on mountains. First, he preached his famous Sermon on the Mount. On the second, he showed his glory as God. On the third, he offered himself in death for our sins. And finally, he ascended from the mountain to heaven. Today, we shall discuss in detail the second mountain experience of our Lord as we commemorate today his transfiguration on Mount Tabor. What exactly is the transfiguration? Let us turn to Scripture for our answer, and let us reflect on what happened on that glorious day. We read that one day Jesus and three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John, went to the peak of Mount Tabor. There, an amazing change came over Christ as he prayed. The gospel readers could not find the proper words to describe what actually took place. St. Matthew wrote, "And his face did shine as the sun, and his clothes were white as the light." St. Mark reported the event in this way, "His clothes became shining, exceedingly white like snow, such as no launderer on earth can whiten them." And St. Luke wrote excitedly, "The appearance of his face was altered, and his robe became white and glistening." All three of the writers focused on his face and his garments, the face that would later be covered with blood flowing from a crown of thorns, and the garments which would be stripped of him and lots cast for. It was only a small ray of Christ's divine glory that the apostles saw that day on Mount Tabor. In Greek, we say Thabor. Still, human language fell short to explain the significance that occurred. But then again, how can a human being fully describe the glory of God? There's nothing on earth to be compared to it. The only expressions the gospel writers could use were whiter than snow, brighter than the sun. Think back for a moment to the Old Testament story of how Moses looked when he came down from the holy mountain after speaking with God. So brightly did his face shine that he had to cover it with a veil because the children of Israel were blinded by it. But the light of Moses was not like God's glory, it was a reflected glory. Think back to how St. Stephen looked as he defended his preaching and miracles before the council members. We were told that they looked at him and saw his face, and it looked as though it had been the face of an angel, but that also was a reflected glory. The radiance that shone forth on Christ on the mountain was his own. The divine glory of Christ did not suddenly come over him as if God had turned on a great spotlight on him. That glory had always been there. At the transfiguration, it simply was shining through. For this brief moment, Jesus removed the veil of his humanity to permit his disciples to see a small part of his glory as God. St. Luke told us that the transfiguration took place while Jesus was praying. It is in times of prayer that we are most likely to witness God's glory. It is also during prayer that a change can come over us, where we can become transfigured, actually becoming closer to God. As the transfigured Christ stood there shining in glory, two men stepped out of the past, Moses, the venerable lawgiver, and Elijah, Elia, in Greek, the great prophet. They stood there talking with Christ about his impending death at Jerusalem. we read, "And two men appeared conversing with him, Moses and Elijah, seen now in glory. And they spoke of the death which he was to achieve at Jerusalem." Why Moses and Elijah? Moses represented the law, and Elijah represented the prophets. The two appeared to confirm Christ as the promised Messiah. They were there to prove to the Jewish people and to mankind that in Christ we find the fulfillment of the Old Testament. We also find he who gave the law and he who sent the prophets. To emphasize the magnitude of the event, St. Peter, one of the apostles there, was so moved by the beauty of the transfiguration that he suggested that they stay there always. Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is well that we should be here. Let us make three cabins in this place, or three booths, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While these three apostles were standing at what seemed to be the very vestibule of heaven, a bright cloud symbolizing the presence of God, the Father, suddenly passed over them. In reverence and amazement, they listened as a voice spoke to them out of the cloud, words of eternal significance. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Listen to him." Hear him. How often we are confronted with many people talking to us, seeking our attention. But God the Father is commanding us to listen to only one, the voice of his Son, Jesus Christ. "This is my beloved Son." Our whole purpose in life is to listen to the voice of God's teachings, obey his commandments, and become like him. When Moses and Elijah appeared with Christ, they were also transfigured. In Christ's presence, they too shone in glory. We have God's promise that every true believer in Jesus will be transfigured and will share in Christ's glory, as did Moses and Elijah. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Learn about him. Obey him. Become like him. And eventually you too will be transfigured to shine with him in a glory which the gospel writers could only describe as whiter than snow, brighter than the sun, and which St. Paul described with these words, "Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it ever entered the heart of a man what things God has prepared for those who love him." Shine brightly. Amen.